Last Lord's Day, we studied the question, why do we follow the life of Jacob instead of Esau in his life? Well, the scriptures gave us the answer. Jacob was a godly man. Esau was an ungodly man. And we studied, of course, the leadership of Jacob was a good example for leaders today in the Lord's church. But Esau, of course, is an example showing what to avoid. And so this morning we want to continue our study as we're looking at the descendants of Esau. And what can we learn from the history of the nation of Edom? And of course they lived in Mount Seir, the range, and later would become the Idumeans. Now, we want to continue this study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. PFE, if we'll remember those initials, think about doing what we should be doing every day, preparing for eternity, that's right. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville. Well, of course, we're going to be studying God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together in the assembly, we strive to worship God in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in truth. But what about our attitude? Well, that needs to be right too, doesn't it? In spirit. John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. We love to have visitors. Now, something to mention. If you would like to study the Bible together, we'll be glad to set that up at your convenience, so please give us a call. Of course, our office phone number is area code 765-342-6027. And again, let me give our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And if you have Bible questions or comments, please let us know, positive or negative comments. Something else to mention, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And let me mention about the fair coming up July 5th through the 12th, the Morgan County Fair. We're planning to have a booth there in the Merchants Building, and we'll hope you'll stop by and say hello. And if you would like to have free Bible tracts, Bible materials, set up a Bible correspondence course, all free. And please let us know if you listen to the radio program. So wanted to mention that. Now, let's get to our study this morning as we're going to learn, hopefully, from the history of Mount Seir and its inhabitants. Going back now to Genesis 36, verses 6 through 8, let's notice. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob, for their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. In verse 9, let's note, and these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. And so, if you go back further, the Horites, they were cave dwellers, and they're really the first ones mentioned in the Bible having occupied the area around Mount Seir. This is Genesis 14:6. And Seir, S-E-I-R, was the name of a man who lived in the mountain range, possibly named after him, Genesis 36:20. Now, after Esau and his men conquered the Horites, Mount Seir became the home of, again, Esau's descendants, and of course we refer to them as the Edomites, which of course are making up the nation of Edom, Deuteronomy 2:12. Now, we need to note that God gave Esau and his descendants Mount Seir, Deuteronomy 2:5, and Joshua 24:4. Mount Hor, H-O-R, is a mountain in the Mount Seir range on the edge of Edom. Now, this is where Aaron, the brother of Moses, he was, of course, the first high priest of the Israelite nation. This is where he was buried. This would be Numbers 20, 23 through 29, and Deuteronomy 10, 6. Two cities that are well known of Edom, and that would be Petra and Bozra. Now, the Edomites refused the Israelites' passage through their land. And this could have been because they remembered how their father Esau had been, maneuvered into selling his birthright by Jacob, his brother, twin brother. And then later, he would be defrauded of his father Isaac's blessing. It went to Jacob instead of Esau, as Rebekah had Jacob put the hairy goat skin or whatever to fool his father. Now, in Numbers 20, I want us to note this, beginning in verse 14, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us. Now again, this is Numbers 20, verse 14, starting out. Continuing, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Esau said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people, with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. So this is why God brought severe judgment against the nation of Edom. And we'll note some history here, as Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, speaking unto God in the temple about how Edom joined forces with Ammon and Moab against Judah. 2 Chronicles 20, 10 through 13. Well, you know, Ammon and Moab were the sons of Lot's daughters, who had an incestual relationship with their father, and thus these nations came from those two sons. Well, again, we've mentioned Edom was often referred to as Mount Seir, so you'll see that in the scriptures. Now, during the reign of Ahaz, the Edomites fought against Judah and even took captives. Now, this is 2 Chronicles 28, 16 through 17. And note the prophecy that God gave to Rebekah and Isaac. He gave a prophetic blessing to Jacob and Esau. Well, they were fulfilled in the domination of the nation of Israel over the nation of Edom for many years. Now, I'm going to give the scripture references. We just don't have the time to read all of these. 1 Samuel 14:47, 2 Samuel 8:14, 1 Kings 11:14-17, 2 Kings 14:7-10, 2 Chronicles 20:22-25. And you go to the book of Obadiah, which is the shortest book in the Old Testament, and it has many lessons for our learning and admonition. Well, Obadiah was, yes, a prophet of God who proclaimed the nation of Edom's doom. Yes, and why God would bring severe judgment upon where, of course, the Edomites lived. Yes, and you see, and as you go further into our look here at the situation of the descendants of Esau, and how God did bring judgment upon them, and how many references can you find in the scriptures? Well, there are too many of them for us to note all today, but I wanted us to look at Malachi chapter 1, 2-5. I'll mention this, Ezekiel 35:1-15. Now, this is a complement study of Obadiah's inspired prophecy, if you want to read those later. But now let's look at Malachi 1:2-5. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, the American Standard has jackals, which is correct here, and wild beast. Then note verse 4. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. And so you find in Romans 9, verses 10-13, Paul, the inspired writer, referred to verse 2 of what we've just read. God loved Esau and his descendants less than Jacob and his descendants. Now, we can understand the word hate here can mean love less. For example, as we studied a couple of weeks ago, counting the cost. And in Matthew, note chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, if we go over to Luke 14, verse 46, what are we going to find? Note, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So you see, the word hate gets our attention. But it's meaning here, what? Love less. Of course, we're to love our families. The scriptures teach us that. Yes. And the point is, we must love God first. Do we love God more or less than our family members? Let's all answer that question honestly. You see, it should be God. It must be God if we're going to be pleasing unto God. God is not going to take second place, nor should he. And we all should understand that. So now God's judgment upon Edom It was prophesied by numerous other prophets. Again, we just don't have the time to read all these, but Isaiah 34, 5 through 8, Jeremiah chapter 49, 7 through 22, and Lamentations chapter 4, 21 and 22, and Joel chapter 3, verse 19. Now, I wanted us to talk about the Edomites, would later become known as the Idumeans. Yes, and you see that not only were the Edomites and later the Idumeans enemies of God's chosen people, but they produced the Herodian kings and tetrarchs. Now note, as we go now to Matthew chapter 2, let's notice verses 16 going through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. He was afraid of losing his power as the king. Yes. Well, Jesus didn't come to take his throne and become a king on the earth. No, sir. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He reigns in heaven. He's not going to take the throne here on this earth. But you see, Herod the Great, yes, he tried to kill the Christ child. And you see what's going on today. How many mothers and fathers are for taking the life of their innocent child? And they say this is a choice. But the baby, let's not use the term fetus. Let's use the term baby. The baby has no rights, according to them, and is just looked at as a glob of tissue. But it's innocent blood, and God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Now, people that are involved in this can get forgiveness, but not if they do not see it as sin and get out of it and obey the gospel. But you see, here's a lesson with Herod the Great, a descendant of Esau. And notice Herod Antipas, who was tetrarch over Galilee and the son of Herod the Great. He had the forerunner to Christ, John the Immerser, beheaded. Matthew 14, 3 through 12. Remember that? Herodias had her daughter do some kind of seductive dance, and he was ready to give her half of his kingdom, half of whatever he had, I guess. And what did Herodias have her daughter say? I want the head of John the Baptist. This is the kind of descendants, you see, as we've studied Jacob and Esau. What a comparison. Herod Agrippa the First, the grandson of Herod the Great, who had the Apostle James, the brother of John, killed. Acts chapter 12, 1 and 2. Well, Brother Bob Winton, a good friend of mine, I appreciate his commentaries and his excellent commentary on the book of Matthew on page 15. He gave the following information about Herod the Great, who was the king of Israel at the time of Jesus' virgin birth, and probably the most famous descendant of Esau. Herod is called the king, in quotes, to distinguish him from the other Herods. We know him now as Herod the Great. See Josephus, Antiquities, book 14 through 17. By saying that Jesus was born during the days of Herod the king is the nearest Matthew comes to giving the birth year of Christ. Herod was a descendant of Esau. He had obtained the kingdom encompassing Judea, Samaria, Galilee, Perea, and Idumea. Herod became a Jew by religion, but he was not a Jew in heart. He hated the Jews. He hired and fired priests. To please himself and the Jews, he rebuilt the temple. By birth, he was Idumean. His reign began about 40 through 37 B.C. Well, that's, again, history that is revealing, is it not, of the descendants of Esau. Now, we mentioned about Isaac's prophecy when he gave Esau a blessing, Genesis 27:40, "And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." So this prophecy could have been fulfilled under Jehoram's evil reign as the king of Judah, 2 Kings 8:20. That's when Edom had revolted under the hand of Judah. But that part of the prophecy that Isaac gave, "Thou shalt have dominion," that doesn't seem to fit Jehoram's reign. But it does seem to fit during the time when Herod the Great, his sons and grandsons, had dominion over Israel as their kings and patriarchs. Now, that's not taking a firm position about it, but certainly a possibility. And so, Mount Seir's history, the nation of Edom that we have studied, and this revealed to us that Esau's lack of spirituality produced a nation full of pride, and having left God out of their lives, they became the enemies of God's chosen people. So may we fathers and leaders in the Lord's church learn from Esau and his descendants' negative example and be the godly spiritual leaders that God would have us to be. Ephesians 6:4, 1 Timothy 3:1-7, as you see the qualifications given for the office of a bishop. To become an elder, one needs to fit the qualifications, of course. But with the time remaining, I want us to talk about the pride of life. What does this phrase mean? Well, going to Obadiah, as we mentioned earlier, I wanted us to note verses 3 and 4. "The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." Speaking of the nation of Edom. And so it seems from our study that Mount Seir has come to represent the pride exhibited by the Edomites. And so with that in mind, let's ask this question then. The pride of life, what does that phrase mean? Well, we all should understand what it means, because it's one of the three avenues of temptation which Satan uses to tempt every accountable soul. Notice in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came forth and Eve was tempted, was she not? Adam was not there at that time, so he circumvented Adam and came to Eve, Satan did. And here were the three avenues of temptation: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, Genesis 3:6. So you see, that's where it started, the avenues of temptation. Now it continued down through history. Satan tempted Christ after he had been fasting for 40 days, Matthew 4:1-12. Yes, Jesus answered every temptation with Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Here's these smooth stones look like loaves of bread. How easy it would have been to turn them into bread and eat after having fasted 40 days. Well, again, we need to answer the temptations by staying with God's word. 1 John 2:15 through 17, you see Satan continues his assault on all accountable souls today with those same three avenues of temptation. So again, to answer our question, the pride of life, what does this phrase mean? Well, first let's consider the definition of pride taken from the 1828 edition of Webster's Dictionary. Inordinate self-esteem, unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Martial pride looks down on the industry. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs 16. Pride that dines on vanity, sups on contempt, all pride is abject and mean. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase, Daniel 4. Well, I'm all for bringing this dictionary back into everyday use. Daniel Webster, he appreciated the word of God, did he not? Second, in answering our question about the phrase, the pride of life. Well, notice what Satan said to Eve. Then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Little g, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:5. So when a person believes that he is a God himself, then he does not see the need for his Creator, Almighty God. Now imagine if the clay, while being formed, was to say to the potter, I do not need you because I am able to do everything on my own. How ridiculous is that? Well, that's Romans 9:20-21, is it not? So we can all see the foolishness of this illustration. Well, then why man thinks he is able to find his way in life without God? He's like the clay in that attitude to the potter, simply being deceived. Third, the pride of life involves a lust for power, which can cause an individual to view God as being in competition with himself, leading him to reject God and become an atheist, for example. And there are other examples I could give, but our time is running out. And so as we've studied together Jacob and Esau, certainly Jacob became a great leader, and through his descendants God brought forth the promised Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Esau, on the other hand, we've seen what his descendants became. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. You have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, and then confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and you're ready to be baptized. And we thank you so much for listening today.